And what does the Lord say in verse 7 of chapter 2 to this church at Ephesus? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Holy Spirit is always working. If you like, he's the light of the lampstand, like the lamps lit in the tabernacle. The only source of light there. There weren't any others at the grove of the altar of incense. No other light. And it's the only light we need. The light of Christ.
In these days, they didn't have churches like we have.
I don't know what the second generation church is like. Obviously,
so could it be that shutting a church down, you won't see people saved tonight, and eventually it won't, you'll see it dead eventually?
Well, think about the situation now. Ephesus, well, Ephesus is there.
Yeah.
Ephesus is still there today, but it's a ruin. Yeah. I mean, it's true, it was a very pagan city with this goddess, Artemis, as you know, which is a very immoral religion. And it dominated the city. There's a huge statue and a huge temple to Diana or Artemis, overlooking the whole harbour that dominated the whole city with its paganism.
Like these Christians,
pardon?
Like a Statue of Liberty.
Well, and when said, yes, in a way, but... you've probably seen a picture of Diana or Artemis. She just had breasts all over her body. You know, it was just immoral. And that's what it was. So the Lord, what did he say to them in verse 7? Why? The Holy Spirit is speaking. And to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. So there's his reward. There's his challenge. And the tree of life here is a more personal, intimate walk and knowing the Lord. When the Apostle John wrote his letters, 17 times in the first letter, 5 chapters, he used the words know. To know intimately. A personal, close walk with the Lord. That's what they needed. They'd stayed at a distance. They got cold. They got formal. They moved away from focus on the cross. They moved it. They were away. And the Lord says, return to me, come back to me, and if you overcome, then I'll give you a closer walk with myself. And in the New Jerusalem, the tree of life is there, you're right in the center of it. What an encouragement. For that tree of life is in the midst of the paradise of God, and I believe it's in the New Jerusalem as well. So, return to me, and to him who overcome, I will give blessings, intimate responsibilities. Responsibilities in the millennium for faithfulness down here. It's true. No doubt. So he says, repeat your first love, recover your first love, put things first, get priorities right, everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. So the wonderful thing is, we go back to chapter 1, verse 20. It's got the mystery of the seven stars. Saw my right hand. Right hand is authority of God. Seven golden lampstands in his right hand. The mystery. The church is a mystery not revealed in the Old Testament, as we know. We see what the Lord is doing here is, I am unmasking those who like to put a mask on. I'm unmasking those who try to put a mask on. A mask on comes from the Greek word hypokrites. We got the word hypocrisy. Where in Greek theatre they put a mask in front of their face and played the part. So Jesus is saying, stop putting a mask in front of your face and be the real you that you ought to be. And as I see you, be the person I see you. And of course he comes straight to the point, right to the heart of the issue of this church that lost its first love. So he's about to speak to all seven churches, of course, there's no question about that. So there was a compromise in the second generation. If you like, there was disobedience, there was unbelief. They failed to respond to all the revealed word and will of God and the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. How does the Holy Spirit work through the word? Whatever word they had at that time. They had quite a lot. Believers, like in Hebrews, they can become dull of hearing. You can preach a sermon and people are not listening. There's no response as if it goes... not even in one ear and out the other. It just bounces off like a word from the stone on the on the stony place in the parable of the sower. It just bounces off. No response to a word. No response to the challenge. Well, I wonder what really did happen to this church. I don't know. I have no idea what happened to it. I have no idea. There's no church there now.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's 2,000 years on almost. It's possible to become dull of hearing and lack an eager heart response. Go to Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5. Lovely letter. One of my favorites. Hebrews chapter 5. And see what the writer here may be for, may not be. Doesn't matter really. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. Hebrews 5, 11 to 14. I was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as being like Melchizedek, the king priest, verse 10 and before, of whom we have much to say and things hard to explain. Sometimes you have to get to the tough things. Since you have become dull of hearing, you're not listening. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You need to go back to the elementary things, he's saying. This is a problem. You've come to need milk and not solid food now. Well, you haven't grown. You're still baby Christians. For everyone who partakes only, milk is unskilled. In the word of righteousness, he's babe. Solid food belongs to those who are full age, mature. That is those who by reason of use. The more you use the word of God like a sword, the more efficient you get with it. And the more you know it. That's true, isn't it, of course? By reason of use, we have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Mm.
By the word of God, it directs us, doesn't it? That's certainly true. That's Hebrews 5:11-14. Peter writes it a little bit later on, and we can turn to it, in 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. In other words, set him aside, give him first place, give him the throne room, give him your will. And Psalm 139, 23 and 24, I'll just read it. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, test me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I'm going to read that again. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, I wish the Ephesians did this. Search me, show me, am I going wrong? Search me. Encourage me if I need it. Oh God, know my heart. Try me, test me. Know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, have an honest, open, submissive heart and mind to the things of the Lord. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep your heart with all diligence, great carefulness. Peter wrote that, didn't he, about being diligent twice in 2 Peter chapter 1. With all diligence and carefulness, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep the center of your life. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Keep it that way. Holiness unto the Lord. The Greek word for temple is naos, which means the very inner part of the Holy of Holies in the temple, in the tabernacle before it. Keep the life holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. Peter writes that, be ye holy for I am holy, repeating Leviticus. God is holy, wants us to be the same. That's how we can walk with him. This is important truth. Walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with the Lord. That's what John writes in his first letter. Very similar to this. Proverbs 4:23, that is. Out of the heart comes the issues of life. All your plans, all your decisions, all your motives, all your attitudes are within the will. Get that clear. Seek to please the Lord and honor his name. Several times in the New Testament letters it speaks about live well-pleasing to the Lord. Get it well done, issues of life. Problem, of course, in this Revelation chapter 2, where the Lord says, I'll take away your lampstand, I'll take away the light I've given you, I'll take away your witness, I'll remove it. How sad. That's very serious. What would the world think of a fellowship closed down or divided, split up and splintered until it doesn't exist anymore? That's happened many times. What's the world think of that? oh, they laugh, pointing the accusing finger. But if that's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it. Not a good witness, is it? Well, we can say we can go through the motions of Christian activity. We don't have the blessing or approval of the Lord. Self-will, fleshly motivations, I want my way, oh dear, dear, dear. People who are perhaps in positions of responsibility in the church, dominating over the people. That's why the word Nicolaitans is mentioned, we won't go into Pergamos now, the Nicolaitans is one who lorded it over the ordinary people, like the priest, the priestcraft. The Lord says, none of it, you're all priests unto God. Mm. That's we're all that way. So in this situation, there's a loss of spiritual vitality, a religious formality, and that can happen among evangelicals. It will stunt the growth, Hebrews 5, can silence our witness. If we don't live right, we haven't got a testimony. And what is the result? The Lord loves his church. The Lord loved these Christians in Ephesus. He spoke encouragingly of some of the things they did well, verses 2 and 3. But he had things against them. They lost the first love, which is most important. Remember where you once were, repent of it, and go back where you were, or I'm going to take your witness out. That's what he says. So the Lord does correct. There's warnings here. If you don't do it, I'll do this. And the Lord will discipline. That's true as well. So I want you to go back and just see what Paul said to the church at Ephesus, please. First of all, go to chapter 3. Now, as you know, in this marvelous letter, Paul prays for this church. One of the prayers is in chapter 1, and the second prayer is in chapter 3, and that's where we're at for now.
Where are we done?
Ephesians chapter 3. One of two prayers. Ephesians chapter 1 is the first one. Ephesians chapter 3 is the second prayer. Ephesians 3. Let you find it. After Galatians is Ephesians. You see, his prayer begins, and he writes it out. In verse 14, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He prays. Now look from verse 16. This is his prayer for this church at Ephesus. The first generation of church. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. And my goodness, isn't he rich? Riches of glory to be strengthened with might, that's God's power, through his spirit in the inner man, the heart, I've been talking about just now, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. No, Christ is in every Christian. But is he dwelling there comfortably? Or is he feeling uncomfortable? The Holy Spirit is in us. Can we quench him or grieve him? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The thought of dwelling here is that Christ may be resident, but is he president? That's dwelling. At home. At ease. Not uncomfortable, but very comfortable. I'm pleased to be there. The Holy Spirit also. That Christ may dwell in your hearts of faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what? In love. One of the many times, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Rooted and grounded in love. That was where they once were, but they'd lost it in the second generation. That you may be able to comprehend, understand, verse 18, with all the saints, all other Christians, what is the width and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ. Christ's love is wider than anything else that can damage your life. It's longer and lasts longer. It's eternal. And depth, you can't get to the depth of Christ's love for you, even if you look at the cross. And the height of it, it reaches to heaven. It covers every area. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, you can't get the full grasp of knowing it enough. It surpasses any knowing, which is so much greater, his love for us. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen, if it wasn't possible, it wouldn't be written here. I tell you, that's quite a challenge, that. to be filled with all the fullness of God. Mm. Wow. See all the conditions though. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly. Can you measure exceeding? No, you can't. Exceeding abundantly. Mm. That's exceeding abundantly now. Mm. Above all that we ask or think. Oh, here's what he's prepared to do for us is more than we can ever imagine or think, because we just don't think that deep. We don't think that wide. We don't think that high. We don't think that deep. According to the power that works in us, he's working patiently in us. He will get us through in the end. And to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus as to the Father. He's talking to the Father in verse 14, you see, for the Father's church. Because the Father's given us to his Son. Who talks to the Father for us. To him be glory to the church by Christ Jesus through all ages. This is the church age. We're in. It's going beyond this age, beyond the millennial age, into the eternal age. New heavens and a new earth, all ages. World without end, that's what it will be. Wonderful, isn't it? And just go over to Colossians, which is a very similar letter. Go on past Philippians, go to Colossians chapter 2. Just two verses. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Now these believers at Colossae, they had great problems with false teaching. Gnosticism it was really. I won't go into that now. But in verse 6, just like the Ephesian church, both letters very similar, Ephesian and Colossians, by the way.
Sorry, can you
repeat
that?
Chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 6 and verse 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, he wants to be Lord, so walk in him. What does it mean to walk in him? It means that you're completely free in your union with Christ, in your daily living, as you walk through your daily life with Christ. I know you can't think of it all the time because you have our own daily duties to do. Of course the Lord knows about that, of course. But you can walk through your daily life consciously that, okay, you talk to the Lord in prayer all the time, you remember other people in need, as you do, you talk to the Lord, tell him you love him, you go through your daily living, no matter whether you're in your job or outside or in the home, working in the home, whatever you're doing, at times when thoughts of the Lord come to your mind, the Lord ensures that. Verse 7, rooted, that's like we find in Hebrews, and built up, rooted and built up. If you haven't got your root deep, you've got to have much above ground, are you? Get rooted well, and when the storms come, you'll stay rooted. And built up in him, strengthened in the inner man, built up in your knowing the Lord, strengthened in your confidence knowing the word of God as well, and established in the faith. Nothing's going to knock you. If you're established, rooted, and built up, nothing will knock you. We're looking at Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. Having received Christ, we're called to walk in him, as I said just now, rooted, built up, and established in the faith, in Christ, and all his redeeming work, all his promises of his riches in glory, riches in grace, which are abundant towards us. That's the Ephesian letter, similar to this one. Built up, established. Nothing's going to knock us. It may just knock us temporarily, but you're still going to stand firm. When the storms come, you're well rooted and you're built up. Christ is a foundation and the house is being built up, if you like. And we're then challenged, as you have been taught. Well, I know that teaching varies so much in the church today, but back in those days there was sound teaching. By the Apostle Paul, by Timothy, by others who came into the church, sound teaching. Mm. Not so much today as it used to be. As you've been taught, abounding in it. Abounding in what? Abounding in the faith and in the teaching. Abounding in it. You know, bouncing along. Rejoicing in the truth. With thanksgiving. Mm. You know, if there was more thanksgiving in the church today, it would be more joy. if there'd be more thanksgiving in the second generation church at Ephesus, there would be much more joy, and therefore there would be a healthy response back to where it should be. Remember the 10th leper?
Mm.
He came back, and he was a foreigner, a Samaritan.
Yeah.
Others were Jews. You'd expect them to come back and say
thank you.
No, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
This man went away blessed. Think of Zacchaeus. He came down. He was in Jericho. A small man was up in the tree, mulberry, whatever tree it was. And he came down, and Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. And he was restored fourfold to what he'd stolen from other people. He got that put right as well. And he said, salvation has come to your house. I can imagine Zacchaeus was leaping with joy. Think of the man at the beautiful gate when Peter and John walked into the temple and he was begging. He's crippled. And Peter said, just saying to this man, well, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, rise up in the name of Jesus. Well, this man went leaping and bounding into the temple, rejoicing in the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I know he was healed from being a cripple, I suppose that's enough in itself. But how about rejoicing in forgiveness of sins? How about rejoicing in the love of Jesus for us? How about thanking him regularly for what he's done for us and where we're going to go, spending eternity in a perfect way with him?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
The Ethiopian eunuch went off praising the Lord, didn't
he? He did indeed,
yeah.
Absolutely. Well, there's so many instances, you see.
Song, isn't
there? Yeah. Now, we're in Colossians chapter 2. Finally, look at chapter 3 of Colossians. Verse 12 to 17. Short section. Therefore, because of all he's been writing so far, therefore, because of that, as the elect of God. Have you thanked God for that? You're the elect of God? Oh, fabulous. Holy, beloved, beloved of the Lord. Now how do you respond to all that? Elect of God, holy and beloved of the Lord, put on tender mercies. Put it in practice out there. The church at Ephesus was in cold formality. Don't be like that, he says. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, patience, bearing with one another. People you can't get on with, forgiving one another. If anyone has got a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, do the same. Forgive others. Lack of forgiveness in the church today. The only people who get hurt and lacking forgiveness are the ones who won't forgive. They're the ones who feel worst inside. People who won't forgive. But above all these things, put on love, O you Ephesian Christians, you Colossian Christians, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It is. If the church is a loving church, and they love the Lord, they love one another, they love people to see the salvation, they care for the poor and being out there. And now that's practical. Let's do it ourselves as a group, individually. Do that, he says. Put on love. It's a bond of perfection. It's a mature, healthy church, he says. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. People lose their first love, they're not living according to the Lord, not walking with him. Oh, they don't have the peace of God. People who won't forgive don't have the peace of God. But let the peace of God rule. Let it be the umpire. It means let it be the umpire in your life. Let it direct you which way to go, what to do. Let it make the decision. Let it be an umpire. Peace of God, to which you also were called in one body. That's unity, one body. Harmony together, one body. And be thankful. Here it is again, thanksgiving. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The author in Hebrews chapter 5 said they lacked this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, the wisdom of the word, the wisdom of Christ. Teaching and admonishing, correcting in love one another. And psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. We had a singing time before. That's good. Whatever you do in word or deed, let the words become deeds. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You're representing him as an ambassador, as a witness down here. Whatever you do, do in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? You do it as he would. You're doing it in his name. You do it as Christ would do it. Oh, how much you need his help. giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving me to your Son. And I have eternal life. I'm in his care all the time. Hallelujah. And just to finish, 2 Peter chapter 3. So go on to 2 Peter, where we were earlier. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Two verses at the end. We've just studied 2 Peter in the Bible school, and it's been a very precious time. And we looked at these last two verses. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, the last two. Bearing in mind that Peter's been warning them that changes are going to come in the world. God is going to judge. The day of the Lord is coming. Heavens and earth are going to be destroyed by fire, and ungodly men are going to be in the lake of fire. That's going to happen. So verse 17, what does he say? You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, what God's going to do, and you're safe from it. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. It doesn't say fall from salvation, it says fall from steadfastness. Like this second generation of Ephesian Christians. They'd lost their steadfastness. They lost their love. They lost their zeal and walk in Christ. They'd lost it. And Peter here warns, it could happen to you too. You know what's going to happen. Not that that's a frightness, that's not the point. But beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. When Peter was in the boat and he saw Jesus walking on the water, Peter said, Lord, let me come to you. He said, right, come on then. And he walked, began to walk well on the water, and they looked at the waves. Down he sank. Peter was lifted up by the Lord. It's easy to look at all the dangers and the problems and the apostasy all around us and get discouraged. And we can lose our what? Love for the Lord. Lose our love and zeal for the Lord. We can cool off. We can get discouraged. We can be led away, in a sense, not into the apostasy, no, but we can be discouraged by what we see. There's even a danger that some Christians might, if they're weak in the Lord, this is what's happening in America through Benny Hinn and all the other characters. Yeah. They get tens of thousands of people. What are they doing there? Mm-hmm. What are they doing there?
Taking they're money.
Falling into the error of the wicked, you see. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. Joel Osteen has got the biggest church in America, 20,000 people, he thinks that Muslims get saved. Mm. Rubbish. Mm-hmm. What are they doing there? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's in public. Don't be led away there, but grow. What's the alternative? Verse 18, like the whole thing tonight. Grow. Grow. Get stronger. Be built up. In the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm. Don't lose your focus. Don't get a dim vision. To him be the glory both now and forever, and it will be. It's a challenge, isn't it? Mm. Grow in grace, knowing the Lord. You never lose your first love then. You never slip. Never cool off. Never lax you. It's a challenge. We're not perfect down here. We'll have our battles. But that's what we aim at. Aim at it. May fall short. Two steps forwards and one backwards, or one forward and two backwards sometimes. Aim for it. Go for it. Stretch for the tape. Aim for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul used the term of an athlete, or a soldier, or a farmer sowing the seed. That's how the Lord wants us to be. Church at Ephesus. They lost their first love. The Lord says, repent and get back to where you once were, or else. I think the church today is afraid to preach the or else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Certainly because the Lord loves us and wants to change us. One day we're going to live with him, and one day we're going to be like him. Mm. Forever. Marvelous. What a joy that is. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for your help tonight. I realize your help. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, your grace, your giving of yourself in sacrifice to be made sin for us who knew no sin, to leave heaven's glory to come to this dark, sin-cursed earth, with all the rebellion of humanity. And there you humbled yourself even to the death of the cross. Yet you were raised and taken back to glory, soon to come again. Whatever we do, help us, Lord, to do all for your glory. Help us in our weaknesses. Help us in our falterings and our infirmities. We've got them, all of us. Help us, Lord, to aim for the high and a close walk with you and a calm our heavenly frame. And the peace of God will rule our hearts and lead us on our way. Well pleasing to you, help us, Lord, to please you well and give us the strength and the grace and your riches to do it. For your name's sake, because of what you've done for us. Risen, glorified Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we look at the church at Smyrna next week.
We're going to have a hymn on that, aren't we?
Yeah, you want to put a hymn on the tape? That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea. Well, we'd like to look for an appropriate hymn. An appropriate hymn?
Which one did you have, Pete?
When we walk with the Lord in the light. How about that?
When
we
chose one.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. It's in the red hymn book.
Choose one now.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, yes.
What number is that?
Well, that, perhaps you could find it.
Okay.
Books.
When we walk with the Lord, it's in the red redemption hymn. What number, please?
477.
In that bag.
477?
Yeah. In the next bag.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, let's sing a few of the verses, shall we?
477.
Perhaps 1, 2, and 5? How about that?
1, 2, and 5.
Verses 1, 2, and 5.
Okay.
Redemption hymnal. 477, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Well, that really sums it up, doesn't it? When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Verse 2.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his blood quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Verse 5.
Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, when he sends we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. That's such a helpful hymn for tonight.